Hey friends, this is Pastor Ron, Pleasant Grove Church. Thanks so much for taking the time to listen today. And here is some good news from the Grove.
All right, so we're in part number 8 of The Essentials. We're going to talk about a subject tonight. I hope it'll be revelatory for you. Laying on of hands. Remember, we're coming out of that Hebrews 6, 1 and 2, where he gives us these six foundations or these six essentials. Basically, he calls them elementary principles that we're building our faith upon. Repentance, we started out with that. Repentance from dead works. Faith toward God. It's all in the list right there in those two verses. We talked about the teaching of baptisms. We spent a little time on water baptism and spent a little bit more time on spirit baptism because I just find personally that that's the one that we know the least about at times. Now tonight we're going to talk about laying on of hands. All right, did everybody get notes, by the way? Everybody got notes passed out to them? We're good? Everybody got it covered? Laying on of hands. Then we're going to get to resurrection from the dead, Lord willing, next week, and then eternal judgment. All right, so now this idea of laying on of hands. This is one way God and believers partner together. Remember, God is all about partnering with us. That's what he wants to do. He wants to join hands, join hearts with us joining his will and his purposes. That's really how he created mankind, to be his partner. All right, so this idea of laying on of hands is one of those ways where we learn to partner with God. It's simply like this. God supplies the goods, and we oftentimes become the conduit or the supply line that he uses to transport his goods. You know, if we can look at it that way, the encouragement, whatever it might be, healing, a word, information, a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, all those things are spoken of in the New Testament, that we're kind of the conduit. Now, kind of picture it like this. Now, kind of get this in your mind. This is just the way I understand it, just putting together a couple scriptures. Like, there's this throne that God sits upon. And on that throne is the river of life, Scripture says. Coming out of that throne is the river of life. So I kind of picture it like this. You know, Jesus said in John 7, about 37 through 39, he said, out of your belly, talking to us believers, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Now, what are rivers of living water for? Well, they're for drink, to people to drink, right? So out of your belly, and then the Scripture says, John gives a commentary about that. He says, Jesus was referring to the Holy Spirit who he would send after he was glorified. So out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. So I get this picture, okay, this throne that God's sitting on and this river of living water. And somehow or another, through God's grace, through Jesus, I get connected to that river. And I get to drink all I want. And Jesus called it living water when he talked to that woman at the well. Remember that? And it's the kind of water that you won't ever thirst again. In other words, if you ever get a good drink of this water, won't anything else taste right? It won't anything else satisfy. And so we get that living water, but that living water is not just to stop with us. That living water is supposed to flow to us, but then through us. And that's the picture I get, this idea of us partnering with God. And it's going to fit into our lesson tonight too. But the throne, the river, connected to me, boom, I take it, that river goes with me everywhere I go. I become a tributary of that river of living water, or the river of life. And everywhere I go, people can have an opportunity to get a drink from God's water, so to speak. Does that make sense to you? Mm-hmm. So that's the idea of partnership that I kind of see right here. So now, this idea of laying on of hands. Some think that if God wants me to have it, he'll just give it to me. And you're going to sit on that log for a long time. You know? God uses people to get you what you need, whether it be leadership or maybe another believer or somebody like that. God uses people. And he doesn't just do it to you in your house or your bedroom or wherever you want to be. He's got a body. And he wants you to be connected to that body somehow or another. United in constant communication with that body, with one another. He doesn't want anybody to be a silo. He doesn't want anybody to be like their own reservoir. It just doesn't work that way for me or you or anybody else. We need to be connected to one another. True, right? You good with that? So now, God oftentimes uses people, okay? Especially leadership, okay? And leadership's not perfect. Hardly any leaders are perfect. Now, in fact, there ain't but one perfect. And they killed him for being perfect. How about that? He uses people, especially leadership, to get blessing to you. This is this idea. And if your faith is a private thing, it's just between you and Jesus, and me and an old country song came to mind just now. Me and Jesus got our own thing going on. Somebody sang one time. Remember that? But if your faith is just a private thing and not a corporate thing, you're likely going to miss out on a lot of good stuff that God has for you. Because His body ministers. It's kind of like your body. Your body heals itself. God put properties in your body to heal itself. He put properties in the body of Christ like that too. We call them gifts. Gifts of healing all over the place. People, encouragers, people full of mercy, people full of compassion and love, people full of generosity. See, those are gifts. That's that part of that rivers flowing out of you, right? And God's got all kinds of good stuff, but it's going to be imperative for us to stay connected to the body and leadership. Everybody needs a family to be connected to, the body of Christ to be connected to, and everybody needs a leader to be accountable to. Everybody. Me too. You know what I'm talking about? All right. So now, we're going to go over four quick things, and we're going to look at several passages of Scripture, so I'm going to need you to get your fingers loose and flip through there with me if you're going to chase with me. All right, so the first thing, laying on hands is used for transferring a blessing to someone. Now, again, get that picture of that conduit. That's why I gave it to you early. Transfer of the blessing. The blessing is not coming from you necessarily. The blessing is coming through you, right? The blessing is coming from God through you to somebody else. So God uses the laying on of hands to get blessing to people. Blessings can be transferred or imparted. And you remember the story of Isaac and Esau and Jacob, that real kind of colorful, sordid story we've got. You remember that? Isaac's old up in age, can't hardly see. Jacob kind of deceives his father, and he gets the blessing. But all that's got a whole bunch of other stuff in it. But what were they wanting the daddy to do? They were wanting him to impart a blessing. He was going to lay hands on his boys and impart a blessing, all right? And I urge you, parents and grandparents, be purposeful in transferring the blessing of God to your families, your spouse, your children and grandchildren especially. Be purposeful. Be meaningful about it. And there's a way that you can be a blessing to them in a lot of different ways. But I'm talking about almost make it a deal. You know what I'm talking about? Our kids need that tremendously. They need us to be able to lay hands on them and bless them. That's important. Okay? You say, well, I'm not that spiritual. Well, we need to get that spiritual. Your daddies especially. All right? And you don't have to do it the way I do it. It's not about the vernacular you use and all the big words and theology you use and all that kind of stuff. It's not about all that. It's about you understanding this principle. And it's interesting to me now that in the middle of all that repentance and faith and talking about resurrection and eternal judgment, the Hebrews writer threw this laying on of hands right there. It says this is something every believer needs to know about. This is absolutely a foundation of the church. You see what I'm talking about? All right. So the blessing can come through spiritual fathers and pastors too. All right, so let's look at some things here. All right, I'm going to need you to help me with the scriptures. I'm going to pull up my scripture app here, and I'm going to stay in it for a little while. All right, so what was that first scripture? Genesis what? All right, so we're going to look at some examples here. I'm not going to be able to talk about a lot of it, but 48 what?
48, 8 through 20.
All right, so listen to this. Let's just read it. Then Israel, that's Jacob, right? That's Jacob. His name's been changed to Israel. The nation is named after him, right? Then Israel saw Joseph's sons. Remember Joseph, Egypt, that guy? And said, who are these? And Joseph said to his father, these, they are my sons whom God has given me in this place. And he said, please bring them to me and I will bless them. And why did he ask such a question? He said, the eyes of Israel were dim with age. He couldn't see. Okay. He was blind. Then Joseph brought his sons near. These are Israel's grandsons, Jacob's grandsons. And he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said to Joseph, I had not thought to see your face. Remember the whole story? Your mind ought to go clicking through the story. Remember that? The pit, Potiphar's house, all that kind of stuff. All the prison, all that kind of stuff. I had not thought to see your face. But in fact, God has also shown me your offspring, my grandbabies. So Joseph brought them from beside his knees, and he bowed down with his face to the earth. See, this is the deal. That's what I'm talking about. This is a deal. They're making it. This is almost like a ceremony for the family kind of thing. This is a spiritual ceremony. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim with his right hand toward Israel's left hand, because he was a younger, and Manasseh with his left hand toward Israel's right hand. Okay, got the two boys coming right there. Right, you see the picture? They're little guys. I see the old man sitting on the side of the cot right there, or sitting on the chair. And they bring him to him. And he says, and he brought them near. And then Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on Ephraim's head, excuse me, who was the younger, and his left on Manasseh's head, guiding his hands knowingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. Now, the blessing usually goes to the firstborn. But what Jacob did, Israel, he did this knowingly, on purpose. He blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, walked, the God who has fed me all my life to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. Let my name be named upon them, and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude into the midst of the earth. Now, when Joseph saw, now remember, in Bible days, you remember the blessing on the is with the right hand. The right hand in the Bible is a sign of strength, you know. But he put the strength on the younger, Ephraim. Now, when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand on the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. So he took hold of his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head and Manasseh's head. And Joseph said to his father, not so, my father, for this one is the firstborn. I know you can't see. Let me help you out a little bit. Put your right hand on his head. But his father refused and said, I know. I know what I'm doing, boy. You ever talk to Grandpa? He said, don't act like I don't know what I know what I'm doing. I know, my son, I know. He also shall become a people, and he shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his descendants shall become a multitude of nations. Now, how did Jacob know about the younger getting the blessing over the older? How did he know about that? Yeah. That's how it happened. Happened several times like that in the family. So he blessed them that day, saying, may God make you as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And thus he set Ephraim before Manasseh. Okay. Just see how it's happening. All right. All right. What's the next scripture right there? Matthew 19. I believe Jesus is, what's the verse? 13 through 15. All right. Now, Jesus is going to bless, okay? Now, this is not going to be in the family. It's going to be just kind of to some children, actually. It says, then little children were brought to him, to Jesus, that he might put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked him. Why would they rebuke him? Well, because we got other people we need to pray for. What are these kids coming around here, you know? Jesus didn't see kids as a bother. He saw them as a blessing. I think we ought to too, you know. But Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed from there. He laid his hands on them. You see, Jesus could have just spoke the blessing. Why did he lay his hands on people? Why did he do that? Well, it's a personal touch, really. It's human. It's human to want to be touched, you know. And Jesus laid his hands. I'm thinking about how it was, and I see Jesus kind of sitting on the rock, and the kids just kind of running around playing. And Jesus comes, takes them, and just kind of grabs them, just blesses them. Lord, little Johnny, I just pray you just touch Johnny's life. Just help him, Lord. I just bless him. Of course, he wouldn't have said, I bless him in Jesus' name. I don't know what he said. That's what we'd say, right? But just want you to see this thing, this blessing being transferred. All right, so now what we got on the next one. All right, so now let's go to ordination. All right, there's a lot more scripture we could look at with every one of these, but for the sake of time. The laying on of hands can be used for ordination. Now, this really is a formal type ceremony. To ordain somebody, which simply the word ordained, can you see the word order in the word ordained a little bit? It's to set in order. And the kingdom is very orderly. When God gets in charge of something, he brings it out of chaos and brings it right into order. That's what he does. We see that from day one in creation. It means to commission, to send someone with authority into a particular office or function. And there's a difference in being sent and they just went. Which one do you think you want to do? You want to be sent, or do you just want to say, I just went? If you went, you're on your own. If you're sent, you're going to have something behind you. That's the idea. And this idea of ordination, God chooses his leaders. No man, no denomination, no Bible college, no seminary. Nobody chooses the leaders. Jesus picks his own team. You know that? He picks every member of the team. He handpicks everybody. God chooses, and when we ordain people, we recognize God's choice. That's the idea. Okay, so men doesn't, it comes through men, but there again, they're just a conduit, right? They're just a conduit. Now, let's go to Numbers 27, 15 through 33. Let's look over there. The book of Numbers, that's quite a book, isn't it? Numbers 27, isn't that what it said? 15? 15. All right. Moses spoke to the Lord, saying, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation. Moses is getting ready to fade off the scene. Give us a man who may go out before them and go in before them, who may lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be like sheep which have no shepherd. And the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, the son of Nun, with you, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him. Set him before Eleazar, the priest, and before all the congregation, and inaugurate him in their sight. It's an inauguration. Who do we inaugurate in our country? It's the president, right? That's who we do, you know. So this is kind of like a ceremony type thing. And you shall give some of your authority to him. Literally, the picture is that you impart your spirit to Joshua, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. He shall stand before Eleazar the priest, whom shall inquire before the Lord for him by the judgment of the Urim. At his word they shall go out, and at his word they shall come in, and he and all the children of Israel with him, all the congregation. So Moses did as the Lord commanded. He took Joshua, set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation. And here it is, verse 23. And he laid his hands on him and inaugurated him, or ordained him, just as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. You see that? All right. What's the next scripture I got right there? Well, let's talk about that in just a second. What was going on between Moses and Joshua? Well, it was a succession, for sure. But Joshua was being consecrated and set apart for leadership. That's an important part of a person's life if they're called to that. Dedicating their life for the service of God. There's a transfer of authority that's happening. Not just from people, but spiritual authority as well. In fact, God told him he'd back him up, didn't he? Right there. It's the idea of impartation. This is where it gets mystical. That nobody can quite figure out how it happens. But God has a way that through the laying on of hands to impart things to people. Especially in this kind of thing. The idea of ordaining or honoring and esteeming. And it's also, this is the big part of it. When somebody has hands laid on them like this, they are appointed to responsibility. That's a big thing. That's a big deal. Every now and again, it's happened several times in my ministry career over the last 30-something years. Every now and again, I begin to feel the weight of that responsibility. And it's kind of it's a little heavy. It's a little heavy time. Sandy just has to know to just kind of let me get through it. It just kind of like, I tell you how the first time it happened, I was probably in it 3-5 years, something like that, early on in my ministry. Somebody looked at me in the foyer of the church after a sermon. They looked at me and said, Pastor, I want to tell you, that sermon, I went home and did exactly what you said in that sermon, and that problem worked itself out. And I most of the time I would be like, man, that's awesome. It's great. But something hit me like a weight. I mean, like, boom. And I went home with that thing, and it almost felt like you had a heavy old raincoat, and it was soaking wet, and it just kind of set on you. It set on about 3 days. And it just set on me. And I felt the responsibility to be careful what I say, because people make life decisions when it comes from that desk right there. You know what I'm talking about? Now, I feel that from time to time, and I think that's a healthy thing. You know what I'm talking about? Everybody needs to feel that responsibility. And if you speak in the name of the Lord, ministering to people. If you're just a Christian in general, you need to feel the weight of that responsibility from time to time. It's important, isn't it? All right. So ordination. For the time's sake, I'm going to have to skip through a couple things right here. Acts chapter 6, 1 through 7. Now, let me just tell you about that one. That's the passage on deacons. Remember the early church? They were having some troubles. They had grown so quickly, and there was some kind of food distribution program they had, and they couldn't get everybody fed. And Peter said, we can't just wait tables and preach and do all the things we need to do. He said, we need some deacons. That's what we'll get. You go and choose men among you that can help serve the people. And they go out, and Stephen comes out of that. Philip comes out of that. You know what I'm talking about? What happens is the apostles, the people choose these people. And the apostles kind of vet them and say, lay hands on them, commission them in that ministry. That's what happened. But how did they commission them? It says in Acts chapter 6, they laid hands on them and sent them forth. See, that was important. Because if the apostles recognized, the leadership recognized these people, then the people all of a sudden said, I need to go with this program, right? I need to honor these men. All right, so now let's go to Acts 13, 1 through 3. I want to read that one to you. All right, y'all quiet tonight. Y'all good? Acts 13, what was my verses, 1 through 3? 1, 2, 3. All right. Now, in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. That's interesting, New Testament prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. That's pretty interesting, huh? Remember Herod the Tetrarch? He's one of Herod the great sons. This guy became a Christian. He was brought up with him, buddies. And Saul, we know him as the Apostle Paul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Here it is. Then having fasted, they must have taken a day or two to do this. Then having fasted and prayed, laid hands on them, and they sent them away. They sent them, and they went on this missionary journey. Remember that? All these other things. Paul just continues on like three or four different missionary journeys. But see the point? What the laying on of hands right there? They commissioned them and sent them and empowered them to go and do the work of the ministry. That's important, staying connected to the body. See, a lot of people can go and do all kinds of missionary stuff and all that kind of thing, but it's important that you don't just go. It's important that you're sent. You're going to need the support of the body, I promise you, either financially or just spiritually, emotionally, practically. You're going to need the support of the body. That's the importance of the sending. And it happened through the laying on of the apostles' hands. All right? And you can go back and read 1 Timothy 4:14 later, but there again you'll see the laying on of hands. And in 1 Timothy 5:22, where Paul told Timothy, he said, do not lay hands on anyone hastily. Don't do it. In that kind of way, just be careful who you ordain into the ministry, basically. Well, I'd say that's pretty important, right? All right, so now, number three. The third reason for the laying on of hands is for the baptism of the Spirit and activation of spiritual gifts. All right, so now we're getting a little bit more spiritual, kind of a little bit more mystical here in that kind of deal. So Acts 8, 14 through 17. You ready? Acts 8, let's go back to 8. Acts 8, what was the verse 14? Did it make y'all sick rolling that scroll like that? Yeah. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem, we kind of read this I think last week or week before. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet the Holy Spirit had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. You see that? Why couldn't God just gave it to him? Well, he can do what he wants to. And I guess this is not a hard, fast rule. He can do whatever he wants to do. But why would he choose to use these men in that way? Kind of keeping the body together again, keeping us connected again, right? And they need each other. And they would honor each other. and relate to each other. Turn to each other when they need to. All right? But I want you to see that this particular gift was not activated in their lives, A, until they come and taught them about it. They need to have some faith on it. And then B, they needed hands laid on them to activate it. And you say, well, I'll just get it at home by myself. Like I said again, you're going to sit a little while on that log. It's just how God works. You see what I'm talking about? It's just how he works. All right? And you know, it's odd to me. It's really odd to me. You could spend your whole life in church and never see or even hear about the laying on of hands. In most churches, you can spend your whole Christian life and nobody has ever done this. And it's a tragedy. Because it's all throughout the New Testament. All throughout it. You know? Scared? Scared of what they're going to get. Yeah, that's right. You know. All right, so what's that? 9:17? Is that what it said?
17:18. You
mean to read it? No, I got it. I got it right here. Thank you, though. And Ananias went his way. This is the Apostle Paul's road to Damascus experience, right? And Ananias was told by the Holy Spirit to go down the street called Straight. Remember that? We talked about that, too. And Ananias, he went to his way and entered the house where Saul, who would be the Apostle Paul, was, and laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. But it came through that man's laying on of hands to the apostle. Right, who will soon to be the apostle. All right? All right. Everybody tracking with me? Baptism of the Spirit, Acts chapter 19. You can read that on your own. Acts chapter 19, 1 through 7. Same thing. Paul goes to Ephesus. And there he finds 12 men. And there he lays hands on them. And they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. All right. So now I want to go to Romans 1. Romans 1, 11 to 12. Romans 1, this is basically an introduction Paul is giving here to the letter of Romans. Romans 1, 11, 12, right? Now listen to what Paul says. He says something kind of different here. He says, "For I long to see you," talking about the Roman believers, "I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith of both you and me." Eventually gets there. He writes this great letter. It's one of the greatest writings of all of human history, really, the book of Romans is. But did you see that? Did you see that? He wanted to go and see them that he may impart. Well, couldn't he just pray for them? Well, sure, yeah. That'd be a good thing to do. Why would he want to see them face to face? Well, one, it's just better together, isn't it? It's just better. If we learned anything through COVID when everybody stayed home and watched TV on Facebook and all that, watched the preacher on Facebook, I know good and well wasn't nobody sitting there watching no 45-minute sermon on the phone. Don't even come here with all that. People talking about all them views. Them people scrolled you off, man. You kidding me? Because it's just not the same. It's just not the same going through a video screen. I don't care where it is. I don't care who's doing it. I'm not real big on these news little satellite things where preachers are beamed through video. Hey, if that's all you got, that's fine. But there's something about believers coming face to face and there's an impartation that can happen. It don't always happen because sometimes we don't receive it. But it's important. And Paul said, "I want to get to you and I want to see you. And I want, when I get to you, when I come there, I want to lay hands on everybody." Now, he didn't say laying on hands. I'm imposing that into the idea, kind of interpreting that. That's why he wants to get to him, I believe. He don't want to get to the church. He wants to get like right here, like arm's length. And he wants to say, "Casey, I heard about your conversion, man. And I want to pray for you." He wanted to personally lay hands on Casey and say, "God, I want you to give him everything he's got. Fill him with the Holy Ghost. Whatever gifts and talents and abilities you put inside of him, come on out of it. Come out of there." See, some folks, you got to get something else out before you can get something else out. He had to do some of that too. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about? And I said that right on purpose, right? But hey, you ought to take advantage of this now. I'm going to tell you that most of y'all are not taking advantage of what you can get from me. And don't make a misnomer there. I'm not talking about just from me, but what comes from him through me. And that's just simply because of the office. It ain't because of Ron, I can promise you. Ron's just Ron. I'm crazy as I can be sometimes. Like I'm crazy as a run over dog sometimes. You know what I'm saying? As I say. But because of the authority and the office he's put on me. For your life. For you. If you're going to come here and be a part and come underneath our leadership. For you. Take advantage of it now. I tell you what, I wish Sunday. I stay here and pray for everybody if I want to every Sunday. But everybody wants to get to fried chicken. Or everybody wants to get home. Got something else more important. Or just call me. We'll come to the house. It ain't got to be in here. It don't have to be in here. I mean, some of the highest, holiest moments I've had have been outside. You know? So I'm just saying, take advantage of these gifts. God's given gifts in pastors and leadership to get gifts out of you and get gifts to you. You see what I'm talking about? All right. That's just the way it works. 2 Timothy 1, 6 and 7. Let's read that. 2 Timothy 1, 6 and 7. You'll recognize this, but I want you to see this one little part. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Paul's talking to his spiritual son right here. He said, I was there when it happened. I laid hands on you. I imparted this spiritual gift to you. And now I'm telling you to go back home. And I know you're upset and discouraged, but you stir that gift up in you. For God's not giving you a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and a sound mind. You know that part right there. But it started with Paul laying hands on that young man. And something supernatural happened in him. Changed the course of his life. And it changed the course of history, actually. Timothy was the pastor of the church of Ephesus. No telling how many thousands of people he won to the kingdom. You know, because of this transference of giftings. All right, activation. All right, now let's... We're running out of time here. Let's talk about this idea of laying on of hands for healing. Let's go to Luke chapter 4. Let me do that. Luke chapter 4. I hope you're okay. I don't usually read this much scripture, but I hope you're okay with that. It's just we're kind of chasing a principle in scripture. Luke 4 what? Luke 4 what? 40. Luke 4, 40 through... All right, so now, this is Jesus. When the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him. And he laid his hands on every one of them. And he healed them. That's a pretty good church service right there. Why didn't Jesus just say, be healed? I mean, he went to sick folks. You know, they told us not to be touching on sick folks. They got us scared of everybody, scared of everything, scared to breathe. Jesus walks right in the middle of all them sick folks, just boop, 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 boop. Just laying hands on everybody. And they all got healed. Now look what else happened. And demons also came out of many, crying out and saying, you are the Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuked them, did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. But Jesus laid hands on people. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I want you to see. All right, lots more there again, as always. All right, so now, Luke 13, 10 through 13, another situation, Jesus laying on of hands. Let's go to Mark 16, 17, so it doesn't leave us out right here. Mark 16. Oh, did I not pull that up right? Mark 16. What was the verse?
17.
17. Listen to this. Jesus getting ready to leave. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name. You could say it like this. It depends. There's no punctuation in the original. So it could say, these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. I know we get confused about all that kind of stuff. But taking up serpents, you know, that old church, you know. Old Jerry Clower had a thing about that old church thing. Y'all remember this thing about the, went to the snake church? Remember that kind of deal? And they kind of take all that literally, but that's not what he's talking about. Now, who's the serpents? Who's that? Well, that's a picture of the enemy, right? All the way from the third chapter of the book of Genesis. They'll take up the serpent, and if they drink any deadly thing, taking any all these deadly things were around us, it will not hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Now, who is the they and the they? Who's the they and the they? They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Who's they and they? That's whoever believes in the name, right? They are going to lay hands on the sick. You say, well, I ain't never seen that in my life. Well, let me ask you this. How many people you laid hands on? Not that many, I'm sure. Lord, we can't hardly get them to do it in church. I know we ain't doing it at Kroger. Or the Walmart or the ball field. We ain't doing it. What in the world? What if we just took the word at face value and did what the Lord said? And just in simple childlike faith, he put those children here to keep us childlike. In simple childlike faith, just said, I don't know how it works. I just know it works. Come here. You're sick. Grandma, come here. Come here. You know what happened? We missed a great opportunity. COVID, the world broke out in all kind of sickness. The church hid. They went home. Hid. You know what should have been happening? That's what should have been happening. We should have said, come get healed right here. Put a sign out front. You can wear a mask or not a mask. It don't make no difference. Whatever you want to do, come on in. We'll pray for you. But we got scared. I mean, not just y'all. I don't mean to throw it on you. The preachers got scared. That's where it went bad. I'm not going to hold y'all responsible, but us as leaders, we got scared. I'm not telling you to be unwise, but I'm just telling you do what the man said. And the day is us, and the day is them. It might be some of us too. But what would happen if we just started this in simple faith? Just honor what the Lord was saying. Now, how do you do this? Now, there's probably some more scriptures I got there. How do you do this? How would you lay hands on somebody? I mean, hey, I come from old school church. I mean, old school church. I've seen about everything you can imagine in church that was good, bad, and ugly and wild. Number one, they need to be agreeable to it. There's nothing forceful. Nothing forceful happening. Number two, you do not need to manipulate the situation. It ain't about how loud you pray, and it ain't about herkum, jerkum. You seen that guy with the making your neck pivot on your swivel there? You ever seen them guys do that kind? Anybody been to that kind of church? Where the preacher, Casey, you want me to show? Where they just kind of grab you, and they just kind of shake you. We ain't doing all that kind of stuff. I don't believe in all that. See, that's like fleshly manipulation. You don't have to do all that. Okay? I'll tell you a story one time. I went to a conference. It was a well-known speaker. I won't call his name. He was on TV and everything, and we were invited to come. Our church was invited to come. It was a big old sanctuary they had, and churches from all over came to hear this guy speak. And before we got started, he called all the pastors up front. And I was like, oh, man, I hate it when they do that. I'm there to help my people. But he called all the pastors. He said, I want to lay hands on all the pastors. And so I wasn't even going to go. I sit back in the back. And my folks said, hey, we got one over here. Come on, get him. I said, oh, Lord. So I had to go. I went down to the altar. And I'm standing there, and I was the very last one. There's probably about 50 pastors. I was down on that end right down there on the altar rail. Take a message for me. I'll get them in a minute. I was down on the end right there. I was the very last guy. And he was a little guy. And he was hitting on people and praying on them, like shaking. It was pretty intentional. And people were falling out. And I'm just going to tell you right now, I don't fall out for nobody. I'm not doing no kind of swan dive for nobody. I'm not taking a dive for you. I'm just not going to do it. If the Holy Spirit hits me and I go out, that's fine. But you hit me, it might be something coming back at you. I don't know. Okay, so this guy comes and he starts praying for people. And I'm like, Lord, I want everything you got, but I just don't know yet. So I went over there, and I'm just there. I'm saying, Lord, you whatever you got, I'll take. He reaches up on me, and he goes, bam! And the butt of his hand hit my forehead like that. And I went. And I looked at that preacher. And he said, don't resist it, son. And he did it again. He said, don't resist, son. Boom, he hit me again. And I was like, and by this time I was mad. I mean, I got mad. I really got mad. And I went to my knee. And I said, Jesus, I'm about to make a fool out of him and everybody in this building. Please help me. I'm serious, because I just cannot stand that kind of fleshly display. It is deceptive. It's wrong. And I don't even know. I ain't got no words for it. Not anything I can say in here. You know what I'm talking about? We don't do that kind of stuff here. Every time I have a guest speaker come, which we haven't had any yet, I always tell them that. You can pray for all my people, but if you push any of them, it's shut down immediately. And you're going home. I tell them that right off the gate. Right off the gate. We don't play like that. But if the Holy Spirit wants to move, he can move. You want to lay hands on people? You can lay hands on them. Anoint them with oil. We didn't even get to James chapter 5. Laying hands on them. Anoint them with oil. We're going to get to James chapter 5 in our Sunday meetings. You know, pray the prayer of faith. Any sins, God will forgive them. He'll raise them up. You know? How can you lay hands on somebody? Well, you can do it. You maybe see me do it. Okay, so I'm going to lay hands on you. Just kind of show it. It's simple. It ain't got to be nothing crazy. What about laying hands on somebody like this? That's all right. What about laying hands on somebody like this? That's good. That's good. You see me, I grab folks like this right here, not being forceful, just praying for them. Maybe do that kind of thing. You know, anoint them with oil. It ain't got to be something hocus pocus. It ain't got to be nothing crazy. Does that make sense to you? Just let Jesus do his thing. Because you got to remember, you don't have to do all that. You just a conduit. Just get the pipe in the right place. And let it just flow through you and get out the way. Let God do the rest. That's the best thing to do. You know, we can all get in trouble like that if we ain't careful. All right, y'all good? Everybody good? I'm keeping you too long. Them kids, I heard them kids down there a second ago, huh? I thought they was going to bust in on us. Lord, help us. Help us, Lord. There's a lot of blessing you got, but we're going to have to get into some of this stuff to get some of that. Not as many other blessings you get to us through other avenues, but this is another avenue for us to get what we need. Lord, healing of the body, healing of the soul. You use us. And Lord, I want to thank you that you don't just bypass us, that you long to partner with us. And it's just the joy of my life to be able to partner with you to see people get blessed and get healed. That's just a wonderful joy. And Lord, I pray that all of us would be able to partake in that kind of blessing and be that kind of blessing to somebody else. I pray we'd be that kind of house, Lord, to where you can get whatever you want to anybody you want, because you got a group of people who are just willing to serve you in any way possible to help bless somebody else. Let us be that kind of people, Lord. Set up here a house of blessing. Set up here a house of healing. And we'll give you all the praise and glory. We know we're just a conduit that comes down. We're just a pipe that comes through. We bless you, Lord. Thank you for using it. We're going to partner with you. We're going to take you up on this, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.